this piece is the best chance this has ever had for something to come about of this. All you have to do is share this video and comment on it and just keep it circulating.
Professional wrestling superstar, champion, entrepreneur, author, and show host. Ryback feeds you more interviews, more stories, more information, and more laughs than ever before. Conversation with the big guy, Ryback, with JD and Asian Joe starts now.
Welcome to Conversation with the Big Guy Ryback. I am the Big Guy Ryback. Got the gang together again, once again, episode 136, Asian Joe in the house.
Hello.
Literally in the house.
No.
JD in Florida.
In the house.
Bonjour.
In Very his intelligent house.
In his
today.
House.
That's why I said bonjour.
French, known to be intelligent?
JD, hey, I'm part...
You're part everything.
I am. I need to get the other DNA test done. Because Ancestry... We've 70% English, 10% Irish, 7% Italian, 7% West European.
You know they're owned by...
West European is... I think that's French.
Western European.
France can be... That qualifies as my French.
Could... I mean...
I think... Because my mom, from my mother's side, always said we had French in us. And I tried to look... I could be completely wrong on that. Yeah. JD, any input on West European?
Maybe your mom was trying to tell you about... Your real dad. That's a Western European in me.
Did you hear that?
Just subtly as a kid, just trying to ease you into the pain.
And then a little bit of Indian.
Yeah. Someone told me that Ancestry.com and like 21andMe or something like that is actually owned by the Mormons.
Like, so what do you got against the Mormons?
Well, no, the Mormons are actually keeping like our information.
Tabs on all of us?
Yeah.
Smart people.
Yeah.
Ensure their survival when all of us are all gone?
Yeah, probably.
World full of Mormons.
Yeah.
You ever see those guys on the bikes? Are they still doing that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Like running around their bikes in my heel. Well, I mean, I don't think they were like walking around, but it's like, you guys shouldn't be here.
I feel like in 2019 that the game has changed for Mormons riding around on the bikes.
Yeah, you would think you would use technology of taking, you know, sending emails instead of going door to door.
Yeah, well, people don't like answering their doors anymore. I know I don't.
Yeah,
especially,
I don't either.
It's because you don't. The world is, you know, DTA, brother. Don't trust anyone.
Right.
On that neighborhood app, I had to turn the notifications off.
Yeah,
I can't take it. We've talked about it on the show. That neighbors app. It, like, on one hand, it's great to alert you if something is going on that you need to know about. But I realized, in like through technology, I feel like this is. Technology can really stress us out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's and everyone's like trying to track all their health stuff. I was like, what just happened to like eating healthy and taking care of yourself? I think it gets to a point where technology goes too far. And that neighbor app, I was like, I'm constantly getting updates, gunshots, and I'm not far from me. And then there's people, oh, no, they weren't gunshots. It was a firework. But then there's people that post about people coming and knocking on their doors and like as if it's a bad thing. Like, who are these suspicious people coming up to my door? And some of them are package thieves and other things which are on there. Mm-hmm. But others are just like solar salesmen or like Nevada Energy. But people aren't reporting it. Is that they're reporting it? This suspicious guy.
Yeah.
And it just gets to like. Ugh.
Well, do you want to hear the news in the newspaper or a Telegraph? Or how do you want to receive your news about your neighborhood?
No, but I'm saying the problem with the technology is that now you've got anybody can report anything.
Well, I mean, it's...
So you're getting false reports on with the real ones.
And I think part of it, too, is there's this desensitization with having to talk to people face-to-face.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people don't even want to talk on the phone anymore? So yeah. It's like, oh, God, I would have to answer the door and talk to a human being?
It's not even that, but I think a part of that is because social media has shown us how... big of pieces humans can really be, too, on a lot of it. I think so people are just frustrated because there's a lot of good people, but I think we've been exposed now to all the bad that's out there, and so we're aware of it. So, what's this person knocking on my door? Like, you don't even want to deal with it because, I don't know. I think that has something to do with it to some degree, but...
Well, people assume the worst, always, because of social media, because, you know, you don't see the video of somebody knocking on your door saying, hey, you know, I just want to give you something because you're a good neighbor.
Be a they're great show, thing. We film that. Us just going to people's doors, had, giving gifts.
Yeah, I had
box a neighbor, of chocolates.
I had a neighbor knock on my door. He's like, "Hey, you left your garage door open." It's like, "Oh, thanks, appreciate it." Yeah.
Yeah, you're not. That's not going to be on Instagram. You're going to see some guy trying to break. Some guy trying to break in, and like the dog will bark, and he'll shoot the dog and run away.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean, like. And that's all you see.
Well, they mean like what that app is fairly new too. Or I mean,
the app. The best thing about the app to me is the lost dogs.
Yeah.
Where people can and the people get mad. You're not supposed to post dogs on here. It's like, well, no, people are finding their dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
It's helpful.
Yeah.
I think.
So that's the good. But I'm saying the good. There's good with bad. Yeah. And but we're being exposed to the bad at a higher level.
But I mean,
level.
Look. I think that the whole idea is like they're trying to get, you know, this like you know new sites, new apps. They're gathering data and then trying to figure out how to filter out the good and bad. And, you know, it's and plus it's objective too. Like, you know, Twitter and Instagram and YouTube, they're trying to figure out, you know, what's good and what's bad. And, you know, sometimes what's bad to them may not be bad to everyone else. You know, like, you know, the InfoWars or, you know, I think removing anything that has to do with certain subjects, you know, any hate groups and stuff like that, mm-hmm. even though it's, you know, if something's just informative about a hate group, not, you know. And so... Well,
you brought that up a while back, Joe, about Facebook had the thing going on with negative posts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously that kind of technology exists as far as detecting the content.
Right.
But we also, though, the thing we can't, with all of this in technology, it's, and we, JD, we talk about this a bit on the different levels of humans that are out there. Mm. We're being exposed to, I don't want to say the lowest level of humans, but we're being exposed to all forms of humans as far as on an intelligence scale on all of this. And I think that's scary to me. Because in real life, you can kind of control that to a degree. But on these platforms, you can't. Like, I'm talking about, like, the false notifications.
Yeah.
I had to turn them off because I'm just getting the notifications popping up one after the other. And they're not threats. Yeah. It's like,
well, I mean, there's certain people that want to know and there's certain people that don't want to know. You know, and so, you know, it's...
The best thing to do is just turn it off.
Just turn it off,
and then just check it.
I mean, that's how what people should be. If people don't like a certain post and just don't follow them or don't like it, or, you know, or just leave.
Did you see Kevin Hart on Joe Rogan this week?
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, it was great. It was a great
I got
podcast.
A little left. JD, have you caught that yet?
No, I didn't catch any of that. I actually, because I find this interesting, I actually listened to the Alex Jones deposition over the Sandy Hook lawsuit.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think that's like, that's the real Alex Jones in the deposition. Cause I mean, he's under oath.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And,
I'm forced to be the real Alex Jones.
He is. And it was disappointing on how, unaccountable he held himself. But anyways, I didn't get a chance to watch
they talk about with Kevin. It's a great listen. I recommend everyone. They talk about social media a lot, and you can in just the society we live in now. But Kevin actually shares a story on there, and like, I've dealt with this on numerous occasions. About he's telling us, not even trying to be funny, and it's just hilarious that he's in a restaurant eating, and I don't know if he's with his wife or family or whatnot. But he had and
I think he mentioned this like a couple specials ago.
But he's telling the story. And he goes, the walk to the bathroom was clearly, I have to take like in a hurry. And he hears somebody say, oh, that's Kevin Hart. And they get up and they follow him into the restroom. Mm-hmm. So already, just that right there. I hear that and I'm just, I know where it's going. And he says he gets in there. And the guy asks for a picture. I'm never going to have this opportunity. And Kevin, I got to go to the bathroom.
Right.
He thinks the guy will go out and let him go to the bathroom. He's going to take usually common human courtesies. You probably shouldn't hang out and wait in the bathroom. But he says he does his business and he goes to the sink and he sees the guy pop around with his phone. He's in the bathroom waiting behind the wall. And So now in his head, he's like, did this guy record me going to the bathroom? Is this the end for me? And he's just like reciting. This stuff is, it's just hearing it. I'm just like, God, it's familiar. And it is for a lot of people. And he said the guy was too big. He's not going to go through the guy's phone. And he'd like, we go outside the bathroom to take the picture and whatnot. But it's just like they're talking about humans and how they're acting now. And he's like, oh, people don't even want autographs anymore. They just want the picture. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's seen that coming. People still do want autographs, but it's, I think the picture is the go-to for a lot.
Well, they can sell video too. I mean, it wouldn't have surprised me if like the very next day it was like
on TMZ.
You know, yeah. Little Kevin Hart takes gigantic.
Yeah. Right? No, like, that's, yeah. But that's because everyone's looking. They're talking about how everyone's looking for that video to go viral for attention.
Oh yeah, for
and
sure.
It's just but in the sign of the times. Yeah. But they have a great discussion on social media and to what you're talking about to redirect it. They were talking about that if you don't like something, you just don't consume it, move on, and just let it go. And they touched on that, and I thought that was really important because we've touched on that time and time again. And
yeah, he also mentioned about, you know, what happened when he got picked to host the Oscars, and then someone decided to go back to his Twitter account 9 years ago. You know, he made a joke about, you know,
kind of like a
gay.
It was a line from one of the jokes that he was using when he was touring at the time.
Yep.
Yeah. Or once. Like, oh no, the joke was like he saw his kids playing with Barbie dolls and he said he slapped the Barbie doll away from his kid and it's like, no, that's gay. Stop it. And so, you know, that was like 9-10 years ago. You know, at the time, you know,
comedy though is like they talk about it. Yeah. It's meant to just be funny.
Just
meant
to be funny.
And there's going to be people that laugh and then people that don't. Exactly. And it's like if it's not your joke, then just move on.
You know, because
it's funny to other people, but nobody's making it's not. It's all coming from the root of comedy. Mm-hmm. It's not coming from the root of trying to be.
It's not meant to hurt anybody. It's meant to, you know.
But you can't control how people take things.
Right. Either. Comedians are meant to
get laughs.
Get laughs, but line. Also. They're the first person to notice the humor part of society, you know. Like they're observing how society is doing something, and people and comedians are playing it out. It's like, wait a minute, is this right? Everyone's, you know, is viewing it normal, but it's not, you know. And or they're doing something strange, and people are just pointing it out. You know, there's always gonna be, you know, politically incorrect comedians, and the issue is that a lot of you know, social justice warriors are saying, no, you can't say that, you can't say this. And it's like what right do they have to judge a comedian or what people say?
Well, the problem is controversy, like Eric Bischoff's old book, Controversy Creates Cash. Controversy is the root of almost everything being talked about now, whether it's good or bad. But most of the time, it's bad.
They discuss the negativity. That's what people
are
looking
for.
They're not interested, right? So if somebody can take something and be like, wait a minute, you know what? That offends me. I bet you on most of them, it doesn't even really, but they think they see an opportunity there to be the first one. Like maybe it's going to be my tweet or it's going to be my Instagram post. And ultimately, they're just looking to go viral or to get the attention. And like that's what it is. Like, what you said, this you're a celebrity and you offended me. Like, well, what do you think they're gonna do? I'm sorry, I offended you. I wasn't even talking to you. Here's $50,000 and some Kleenex. Like, it's not gonna work that way.
That's the people. That's what's going on. I was just thinking again. I'm telling you. And Kevin was saying he had a moment of being when he was driving and his phone died and he needed the GPS and he was like, "What did we do before GPSs?" Which I was even thinking, like, yeah, what the hell. I lived in Vegas. I knew all the streets and everything, but I like traveling on the road.
Yeah. Well,
I couldn't even imagine,
you know, my dad, like when I was younger back in, you know, the early 90s, you know, we just used maps, you know, just
Yeah.
Go to the Rand McNally maps.
Which are good from point A to point, but I'm saying for all like the little, like if you're looking for like what a good restaurant, the amount of, we would all adjust and it just takes more work.
Yeah.
And these things just simplify that. But I mean, it's not difficult. It's just, this makes it a lot easier to get to point A to point B and anything in between.
Yeah. I think the issue is that like for me, you know, when I'm driving, I'm observant what's going on too. Yeah. Not just, I don't rely just on GPS, but like, all right, here's a Burger King or here's
landmarks
and stuff like that. And so, you know, people are surprised because like, oh, do you want me to pull up GPS? Like, no, I know where to go. It's Wait, how do you know? It's like, because I remember the last time I came here.
Well, that's the thing. If you experience driving, you do remember if you are paying attention.
Yeah. But a lot of times, you know, my friends who are on their phones, not paying attention.
They're not driving.
And then they're not driving. And so, but like usually sometimes, most of the time, I'm not really on my phone when I'm, either driving. If I'm a passenger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you don't want to text while driving. So, but I'm observant, you know, it's like, oh, okay, this is how to get here too. So, you know, just in case my phone dies, you know, I know.
It's not even about observing. People are just lazy. They don't want to have to think, right? Like we get so much information and so much content so quickly that it's like, we don't even have to think about stuff. And it comes out in driving. Like, I can't even tell you most of the time I go driving anywhere. If I look at a red light, 75% or 80% of the people have a GPS on their dashboard going.
Mm-hmm.
And or have a phone in their hand.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, it used to be like you'd see GPS if it was somebody who didn't live there or, you know, was from a different city probably. Mm-hmm. Like if you lived here, you should kind of know your way around.
Yeah.
And, unless you're going to some part of town. But like I always made a point of, okay, I got a GPS the first time, but I would try to memorize. I don't want to be reliant on the GPS.
Yeah.
I'd like to know where I'm going. But a lot of people, they don't want to have to think. It's like they're zoning out behind the wheel.
And the deeper we get into this, people, that's all they know. Whereas like people like us, we kind of had both sides. We had it without. And so we know when we're kind of over consuming, I feel like, to a degree. Other people that don't, I don't think they understand that. And it's just, that's life.
Yeah.
That's all they know.
Yeah. I mean,
and I see that when you look around though, like if you go to the gym and I'm looking around and it's like, we're all have our phones. Everyone's at the juice bar. Everyone's in their seats. Even if it's groups of people, they're all on their phone. It's like a weird, and not to say there's nothing wrong with that. It's just weird to see the addictive nature of all of it. But they brought up, Kevin was saying that had kind of his moment with that GPS thing. And he was just like, I'm not into like social media. He posts, but he tries not to. I don't care about watching.
Because Kevin Hart, like when he started out, he was such, him and Dane Cook, they used MySpace to advertise their shows. They actually used social media to help them get people to come to the shows.
That's great for that.
Yeah, it was great. You know, that was MySpace intent. MySpace was basically made for bands or performers.
Yeah.
That was what first really built. Same thing for Facebook. Facebook was originally supposed to be for people who came out of college, who's in college, to keep people in touch, to, you know, exchange
family,
information.
Family, friends, and growing up.
No, it wasn't. It was actually solely for college.
Okay.
Yeah, because you have to
that
have
was
a,
the intention.
Yeah, you have to have a .edu to join Facebook.
Oh, wow.
And I so, yeah, that's when you first, that's when I first join Jeez, Facebook. It's like, so it's like if you have a .com, they won't let you. But if you have a .edu, they'll let you. They'll ask you what college you came from and your name and what year did you graduate or what year you're still in. So, but then as social media kind of grew, it just started being flooded with anonymous people. You know, like what happened with Facebook with the Russian, the fake Russian bots and stuff like that, trying to, move the election to certain ways and stuff like that.
Trying to change directions. And now,
with Facebook, it's now they're keeping track of what you're viewing, you know. Now they're putting ads up. And so it's like, I actually just watched, Adam Ruins Everything.
Yeah.
And he even mentioned how, the internet, you know, in the United States, we're actually behind in high speed bandwidth compared to other countries like China. South Korea, China, France, Switzerland. And the reason why is because the cable companies, because they have a monopoly.
Yeah.
And so they can control whatever they want. But what that is that, you know, with all the free sites, quote, free sites, they're using data and obviously selling your data out.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, I think in just this one case where on Facebook, I think a woman put her sexual orientation as gay.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, you know, 2 days later, it's like, hey, here's a gay cruise. And then one of her coworkers is like, wait a minute. And then one of the coworkers says, wait, I didn't know you were gay. And then like, because they saw the gay cruise pop up. And it's like, you know, and it was a closet, you know, hasn't came out of the closet yet. And so that kind of, that was one of the cases that Facebook, you know, interfered with someone's life.
Ooh, that's pretty.
So, you know, you know, what's funny is that, like, you know, how people are very conscious, like, you know, Alexa, you know, and Siri, you know, they're recording our voices. And
I don't even use, I've never used those, well, but they're really, on my phone, though.
Yeah, what's interesting is that, like, I know people are so paranoid about being either bugged on their computer or whatever. But meantime, they have no problems of using the Face ID, which collecting information and being sent to Apple. And, and Facebook, they have facial recognition. Use Facebook's facial recognition before Facebook bought that product.
Okay.
So I actually programmed it to do a red carpet event. And so it identifies a person's face on the red carpet, and we have their Twitter information. So as soon as they sit down at the event, they get a Twitter post of them on the red carpet.
Wow.
You know, because normally when photographers take pictures, you will get the photos the next day because they have to tag them and stuff like that. But we tagged it right away with facial recognition. But then Facebook bought that, and now you notice that whenever you post on Facebook, it's like, oh, this person is tagged here, that person, you know, if you take a group picture – and they know who to tag.
Man.
And so it's, you know.
I tell you, though, but I was listening to them, and I've talked to JD about this. I honestly think, and I'm, like, Twitter, I do this still. Like, I'll take it off my phone when I feel like I'm kind of going back to it too often. And just, because it's just something there. It's there. Oh, what's Twitter? And, like, Instagram. Like Facebook, I don't go on anymore. I don't even go on Facebook. And it's been a long time with that, but it's doing, like, I feel like life, and I think more people are going to come to it. Like, I need this stuff for my business.
Yeah.
But when it's not on my phone, I'm so much happier.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, and Kevin, they were just talking about that. He was just like, because why are you scrolling through looking at people? It's just wasting time. There's no benefit to going on there and looking.
The only time I do it is when I'm sitting on the toilet.
Yeah.
That's the only time I'm looking at Facebook.
Yeah.
But people are so bored, though, that their lives are so boring that they're constantly looking to either live vicariously through other people, or they feel like instead of watching TV, they're watching other people's lives.
Yeah. It's a weird thing.
But the thing is, no, because think about it before. People before computers, really, and you watch TV, you didn't watch TV because your life was empty. You watched TV because something would be funny or something was entertaining or educational. There's so much empty content on social media. You're not
garbage actually content.
You're not fulfilling your time.
Yep.
You're not, you know, the real problem is either, you know, you're bored or, you know, you haven't made good decisions in your life with the people in it, so you don't have anything to do, or your self-esteem is whatever, and you're trying to. That's why the gurus and the motivators and everything are through the roof, because everybody is so desperate
to be
happier and more successful and to look better. That's
the key is not to be on there.
People don't realize that. Yeah. Like, that's what all these fitness scams, like that one girl.
They all prey on this with the people.
Recently, yes.
That's right. What was that girl's name? That whole thing? That was blew my mind.
I already forgot her name. Yeah. I can't remember her name now.
But she was charging people for diet plans.
Custom plans, and it was the same plan to everybody, basically.
This is the whole health and fitness bull.
What's crazy is that, like, they're giving the same plan to everyone else. Like, you would think you would get caught, because what if two person who know each other got the same plan for that?
Does happen. It's happened, you know, eventually.
Yeah, that did happen. Well, that was exposed. It just took a bit of time.
Yeah, but what's crazy is, like, I'm surprised no one, you know, like, I mean, as that person who is delivering that custom diet to someone, it's like, oh, I think someone's going to catch me, you know, catch on.
If and I there's nothing the same wrong, one. I think, with using the same similar root things with people and making adjustments maybe on that. But her thing was she wasn't getting back to people. She wasn't delivering on what she was advertising and whatnot.
No, and then she screwed everybody over too at the end when hit the fan and people were asking for their money back.
Yeah, all that money was long gone.
And no, and she said, okay, fine, but you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement through my attorney that says you will not bash me or tell anybody that you had a bad experience. And she was giving people back like 20, they would sign the NDA to get the refund.
Yeah.
And she was giving them back like 10%, 20%. And they're like, what the fuck? And she's like, well, I never said it was a full refund. I just said it was a refund.
Jeez.
And it was too late because they already signed the NDA.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like if they speak out further,
they can risk legal action.
Yeah. So, but these people, I mean, they know they're probably going to get caught, but if it catches on, they're making so much money.
They just keep it going. It's like a drug dealer. You just keep it going.
Well, but it's so quick. It's like that, that one guy, I can't remember his name. I think it was Devin something, who had like the really small waist. It was like a 29 or 30 inch waist.
Guy, yeah.
But he was photoshopping it down to like a 26. So it literally like he looked like an ice cream cone from the shoulders to the waist.
Yeah.
And people were like, well, it's got to be real because look at his videos. And then a video went up that wasn't Photoshop. He was photoshopping his videos frame by frame, or somebody was doing it for him.
Yeah.
So that when he was moving and exercising, his waist had been brought in as well.
Oh, wow.
Now, here's the thing. The guy was already like 8% body fat in crazy condition and had this little waist. But it was the insane alien waist that he gave himself, and somebody sued him or whatever, I think, and it came out that he made like over $1 million in 10 months giving diets.
Wow.
You know, he went from like posting workout videos and 10 months later, 8 months later, he has a Lamborghini.
I'm telling you, that whole industry just pisses me off. On many different accounts. And it's just, you see it over and over again, and people fall for it over and over again.
But it's not even fitness. I mean, look at all the, you know, you see, and Andy talks about it all the time, about all the quote-unquote, about all the gurus stealing people's money, selling programs.
Yeah.
Whether it's motivational programs or real estate programs or financial programs, like to be successful.
Best thing is you just learn about something and go do it and start, like, you can't.
But you see, where it's like, you know, I saw one on YouTube recently where the guy gets out of his Range Rover and he's like, oh, hi, welcome to my house. I'll go in my house in just a second. He's like, I'm about to start work. And he's like, walks up his driveway and he goes through these gates. And then, so like, he's walking.
Graziosi?
No. Have seen his. He's outside he likes little to put shack.
Lopez, they all like to show what they have on the to show that this is the good life.
The shack that Dean used to live in. And he's like, God, it seems just like yesterday I was living in this 300 square foot house with seven people.
That's my $15 million house right behind over here. I built across from the shack.
Yeah. Or Ty Lopez goes back to the Amish community and he's like, I used to live in a trailer and had $47 in my pocket. He's got all those innocent mannerisms with his eyes and everything where it's like, you know, I just $47 in my pocket and like, you know. Now,
I had to quit following all the guys. I can't do it anymore. Because like, I was like, I don't need this. I'm not like this. Is let them for the other. I was like, it's overkill. I can't have it on there. And I love like, them. I love everything. Everyone. It's just I can't. Just not.
Wrestling made me pay attention to human psychology on a whole nother level.
Uh-huh, I agree.
So now when I watch all these people, I can see psychologically all the little things that they're doing. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty smart. I mean, I could see why. Like, especially with Ty. He's always, oh, you know, the glasses are. And it's like, I mean, I was, you know, I like Jordans. But, like, I mean, I was cool when I had holes in my shoes. And, I mean, I would trade it all in tomorrow. I mean, it's just, but I want to help you. And
yeah. It's
funny.
Man, I do need to say and give a shout out up front. We have partnered with Wiretap Radio. And their Wiretap Radio on Instagram and Twitter, and the Wrestling Classic on Instagram. And just to kind of help get more exposure for the podcast. They're going to be promoting it on their website with the RSS feed and with the supplements and whatnot. And so that's a good deal for us as we continue to grow along with CLNS Media for advertising going forward and whatnot. But just throwing that in there really quick.
What's the name of the media company?
CLNS Media.
Okay.
They're on my – I tag them in, on the Instagram post on the podcast. Not every single one, but I do.
You say it really fast. It almost sounded like Cialis.
Cialis Media. Cialis Media. Yeah.
We'll get you hard all the time.
They're going to take us to the top.
Penetrating
long,
people's
hard
ears.
Road to the top and CLNS.
We're going to rise Media's. To the occasion. Yeah.
Nothing keep the blood flowing.
They actually did just reach out. They go, "Have you done anything with Blue Chew?" And I go, "Yeah, we loved working with them. They're working on a package deal."
Oh, nice. but
with other legit package deal with other companies. I think Gillette. They know I'm a big fan of Gillette, yeah. And a few other things. Get Blue Chew, Gillette.
Should get the Sapa or the
some Cialis, a good razor,
a mattress. Get some mattresses.
I actually do need my mattress. I was telling JD about this. I have. My back, because my back was starting to get sore again in the morning waking up. And because I have my mattress is rock hard. It's a firm, but it's a really good one.
Yeah.
I went from too soft to I got too hard of one. So I got a nice pillow top memory foam thing. I put that back on and it solved all the problems. Like I wake up feeling great.
How old is that pillow top?
What's that?
How old is it?
I got it like last year.
Oh, okay.
I got it when I got the rock hard bed because when you sleep, it's like sleeping on, it's just too hard. Your body wakes up sore. And I was like, I can't find, there's certain beds at the Marriott beds. Like if ever I'm on the road, I wake up without an ache in my body. Those Marriott beds, they're the same ones every time. They're like a nice medium, maybe.
Did you ever like pull out the sheets and see what it is?
Yeah. And it's like it's a hotel. It's made specifically for them.
Hotels?
Yeah. Hmm. And they don't have the bed information. I need to do a little digging. I'm sure.
Have you ever asked? Maybe thought of asking, like the front desk.
No, that's what I. Mattress? Yeah, that's okay. When I say a little digging. That's probably all I got.
I don't think they buy mattresses from. I think they just have them, privately ordered.
Well, yeah,
that's what I. But somebody should have that information, but I don't know how.
Or just take your truck, and grab a bed, and then just
put on a little Marriott outfit. Yeah. And
it's like, oh, we got to replace this mattress.
Go rent a room, wait for shifts to change, put on the Marriott outfit, carry the bed out,
and then put
just dump it out the window.
Well, or put your old bed on top of on top of the where it is, and so it's like nothing happened.
You remember in the second Ghostbusters when they
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I've seen it. Yeah.
The second Ghostbusters?
I don't even remember. I was so young. I remember watching the
Statue of Liberty walking down.
I'm weird with movies. I've seen a lot of movies growing up.
You don't see the sequels? You don't watch the sequels?
Who?
The sequels. Like.
No, I just was too. I never like.
It wasn't in the 80s.
It was. I was young when Ghostbusters came out. But I just haven't been 20
something years to see it since.
Yeah.
Very good point. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm weird on movies. I haven't.
The pink slime is flowing through the train tracks underneath the city, and they want to get down there. So they go to a manhole on the busy street and they start digging a hole, but they're dressed up like construction workers.
Right.
Yeah.
And at some point the cop pulls over and is like, "Hey, you guys got a permit for that?" And Bill Murray's like, "Permit? What do I need a permit?" He's like, "You need a permit to dig a hole in the street." But it's just, it's pointless now because you haven't seen it, but
I just don't remember.
You could do the same thing.
This movie came out in 1989.
Marriott.
Yeah, I was 7, 8 years old.
Yeah, I saw it.
So was I.
No, but I'm saying I don't remember. It didn't leave the lasting impression on me. Terminator 1, I still to this day remember when I saw it at my friend Josh and Jeremy's house for the first time. I was really young too when that came out, but for whatever reason, Terminator resonated with me. Ghostbusters didn't. Mm. And I feel like that's a good thing because I feel like people that are hardcore Ghostbusters fans pay like $35,000 for like wrestling figures and stupid.
For Ghostbusters?
Yeah, I feel like if people Ghostbusters are losers in real life.
But you can be a.
Not saying you can like Ghostbusters, but from what I've seen, I've seen some really weird Ghostbuster fans, so I'm not.
So where you make enough fans who buy action figures
and spend like ridiculous amounts of money for one art figures.
Action figures is above my head.
No, those are mine. Those were given to me.
Yeah,
it's for the podcast. We're. Do you see the damn sign, Rybackville?
No, I can't see it. It's just Backville because the TV's blocking Backville, it.
Backville, yeah. No. I'm kidding, everybody. Ghostbusters are great. It's not my thing. Yeah. I don't consume it.
But you saw the first one, right?
But I couldn't tell you anything about it.
Okay.
Marshmallow Man is what I remember.
Yeah.
So.
This always have to be something big. Same thing for Ghostbusters too.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw out front, they have an elliptical Asian Joe out there.
Yeah, I saw that. It's like, outside?
Yeah, decided to step up my game.
The weather's nice. I
bring the extension cord out and plug it in, and then just everyone can see me in the front of my house. I bought a commercial elliptical the other day, like a gym quality one.
Okay.
So it's going to be delivered either the end of the week or the beginning of next week.
What was wrong with this one?
That one was, my dad gave that to me. That one was like a Costco one.
Okay.
That my dad got. And it was fine, but it's not hard enough. It doesn't go with the difficulty. And it's kind of, anyone that knows that if you've ever bought a home piece of gym equipment, it's never as good as the gym commercial ones. Yeah. Same case with that. It's just not, I wanted to get the Life Fitness ones that I use at the gym. Because I do level 25. I wanted something like that because I've been really, I want to do my cardio in the morning when I get up, knock out my hour and a half, and then I can do my training later in the day. So I'm not at the gym for 3.5 hours. Right. I just get sick of, can only be at the gym for so long. And I kind of could separate my conditioning and my cardio. Or if you're like, hey, busy day, like today, I ran to the gym, but today's just a cardio day. I lost probably 30 minutes in traveling just getting ready to go there where I could have just done it at home before you came over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Little things like that. Or, hey, busy day that came up. I'm just going to do my cardio at night. So that was the one. I wanted to get it for a long time, and I kind of was just like, and then I was like, I just finally, I couldn't take it. I was like, I need to get one. So I'm going to either go toss that. My mom said she was, the mother had one of her people from work, her son might have won it. He has a truck, so he might come get it today, hoping, and get it out of here. But just have to wait and see. I had to get you always have the car problems, usually.
Yeah.
I woke up the other day. You ever have one of those days where you just, like, wake up and, like, there's just problems?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, why is this? The ADT guy came. They had to replace another camera on the side of the house, and they're getting up there with Cox Communications for home visits now. And the guy gets here. First thing he says to me is like, oh, you know, you have a flat tire on your truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, well, I do now. And I go, and I needed to get back tires anyways. They were getting close to needing to get new ones. And one of them from going around the curb at Starbucks, it's a tight turn. I'd hit that back tire a few times, and it kind of had a little bit of a dent in it,
mm-hmm.
where you could just see it. Like the tire was on its last legs, and so I had to go in and get two new tires on that.
Did you check your rim?
Rim was all right. Yeah, everything. It was the tire. Like it was.
Yeah.
It was really noticeable. Like the tire just got deformed. They were actually the tires I've had since I bought the truck in 2013.
Oh, yeah, you were long overdue for a new
tire. But I got them. They've been rotated. I've had two other tires, the two back tires, switched out already.
Right.
And they got moved to the front. And those back ones used to be on the front. They were in great condition. I don't put a lot of miles on the truck, you have to remember, because I was never home.
Yeah, but they do have a life. I mean, they do tend to rot over time.
It was,
especially with the heat.
Yeah. And that's what I've noticed. And I think it's starting to get hot again,
mm-hmm.
get warmer. And they were, it just gave out.
Yeah.
So got that all taken care of. But what else is going on? Anything else going on?
That's the same issue. I had a flat tire and I've been getting new tires.
Really?
I actually bought like four new tires at Walmart, like probably a couple days ago.
Tires are, they're not cheap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my car has 250,000 miles, and it's like, all right. I mean, I could put the Michelin tires at $160 each, or just go to Walmart and get it for $75. So I went the Walmart route.
That's not bad. I looked mine up online, and they were about similar to what the place was charging me.
Yeah.
And the Goodyear tire places.
Yeah, Goodyears and Michelins are real expensive.
Really? It was three. Labor was only $72, or right. around that. So that was I wasn't upset with that at all. Mm-hmm. It was $372 for two tires.
Yeah, a Lexus has gone through three tires. Because I don't know if she's running over nails or something like that, but they're run flats, and so you can go with no air and still, you know, drive up to 55 miles per hour with those tires.
Really?
Yeah, but if
that's
there's
what I have.
Yeah, so but they're really expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah,
really.
And but the thing is though, like even
wait, so if you get a nail in it, the run flat,
it's done.
Wait, what now?
It's like they
can't get them fixed.
No, not with those run flats.
So what is the benefit of having those?
You can drive.
You can drive.
It never really gets flat. But
oh.
I mean,
yeah, because the sidewalls are like kind of like steel reinforced.
Okay.
So, you know, you can still drive without, you know, losing control of the car and stuff
you
like that.
You can drive. I think, what did they say? You can drive like 100 miles at 55 miles
right.
per hour with it being flat.
Mm-hmm.
But you eventually got to get them switched, though.
Yeah,
I had to change one a couple months ago, man.
What do they run on those?
$200. No, mine was $495
for Woo! One tire.
For one tire,
yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, Lexus like $220 for
they,
her.
But they but are they harder to get a flat typically? Are they more resistant?
They're more resistant.
Yeah,
but
more
I mean,
resistant.
If she's driving over a nail, like I had a bolt in mine, an actual bolt from the goddamn tow truck that. Towed me from where I lived.
Yeah, I remember you told me that. Yeah, we talked about that before.
And there was an actual bolt in my tire that, and I was like, Jesus, like, how do you get a bolt in your tire? Like, it's so, like, I would think the thing would explode if it's going to be punctured that big.
Right. But because they're run flats,
yeah.
they're able to absorb it. But yeah, you can't really patch those things up.
No.
That's, you know, like regular tires, you can patch up if you have a nail. Yeah. But obviously, if your sidewalls, gets cut, whatever, you have to replace the tire entirely.
Yeah.
You can't fix those.
I actually had to go get a can of Fix-A-Flat to get, because my tire.
Freaking tire shops hate that.
They say that, but the Fix-A-Flat, the ones they have now, they say it doesn't mess with the tire gauge pressure. Like there's, because that's
the
first thing they say.
Yeah, that was
the
first thing.
They go, it's the potential to mess with that, but I'm getting a new tire anyways.
Yeah.
And it says that supposedly that's not an issue, but they go, we don't recommend doing that. I go, well, how do you recommend? I go, I get air in my tire here or enough to get, it's just down the road for me, but I can't drive on the rim.
Right.
And I'm not going to change up my tire. I was in a hurry. And, but so I was like, I'm going to try it. The Fix-A-Flat almost didn't work for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That tire was shot. It got it just enough to not be driving on the rim. And I was able to get there and it was literally right
either,
now.
Either tow it over there or take the tire out and put it in your other car and drive it over there and get it replaced. That's what I usually do sometimes with my car.
Yeah.
I'll hit up my buddy and like, hey, can you take my tire to the tire shop and get it fixed and then put it back on.
Just little inconveniences. But that day, the ADT guy comes that he's here for like 2 hours, and it should have taken 20 minutes to just switch up. It always takes time. It is what it is. But that happens, tells me about the tires. So I'm on the phone trying to get quotes on the tires. And then he goes to come back in through the front door when he's coming in and out. And the lock on the door, something came loose, and the door wouldn't open. So I had to get the power drill out and redo I had to take out the screws and something just came unhinged inside on the door. And I was just like, just hell of a day with everything. And then got it all on track. But we're going to talk about here. We're going to take a break in a little bit, not yet. And I want to talk about the John Oliver stuff with WWE in discussion. I think have a nice little discussion on that. But, before I did want to say I wanted because I had it in my notes a couple weeks ago because I don't know if you have any information with the whole supplement deal has anything else come out on the Redcon one and Blackstone deal JD with those guys with the PJ Braun guy and Aaron Singerman?
No, I don't think so.
Nothing. It was, but they were. Everything they got. Did both of them get raided? Is that correct?
No.
They didn't. Were any of them raided? Pete was Blackstone.
Blackstone was, but that was a year ago or so.
That was a year ago, but that's where they got all the information that they...
That's where they probably got some of the information or a lot of the information when they took all the computers.
I'm curious to see what happens with that.
That's probably going to be a lengthy...
Very
lengthy process, yeah.
Because they said the people back in our day, I remember I was at FCW, I used to take that Oxy Elite, that fat burner. The Oxy Elite and used to be amazing, and the Jack 3D. One of the ingredients was banned on that. And those guys just went to prison, right? After all these years? Or they got fined?
One guy... No, I think he got a jail sentence. I sent it to you. I can't remember.
Yeah, how. And that was USP Labs, right? The name of that company? Because I remember that Jack 3D, everyone at FCW, Florida Championship Wrestling. Dude, everybody was taking it. Like, I remember...
Oh, everybody, everywhere was taking it. It was so good.
It was, people were just taking it before training, throwing it in their mouth, and it was a little scoop, and I was just
like... Little scooper, yeah.
Yeah, but it was that one ingredient, the diet, was it, is... DMAA, yeah. Dimethyl something, right? But that's what those guys were putting in some of their stuff, too. They used to have that in the dust pre-workout. But they're the Singerman and Braun thing. It was for, they were selling, they had a separate company, an LLC, right, JD? And they were selling, like, pro-hormones and everything, or SARMs?
Well, they were selling... I believe pro hormones originally, and then they couldn't sell those. So then they were selling SARMs, and then because SARMs were allowed, but then they were told to stop. So they were allowed to sell off everything they had, which is crazy if you think about it.
Yeah, that is actually really crazy.
It is, like, you know, you can't produce and sell anymore, but get rid of what you have.
Yeah.
And then, but apparently
that's them being very nice with them.
Yeah. And then, well, because when they had it manufactured, it wasn't banned.
Okay.
So it's like, well, you did it when it was still allowed, right? Yeah. So you can get rid of it.
Let you get your money back or...
Yeah. And then, according to the documents, they created an LLC through a different company and were telling everybody go and buy the
stuff from over there.
From there, but it was...
Connected back to them.
Yeah, or something.
So crazy. I remember back living in Florida and remember seeing there was that huge pro hormone craze. And it was like in the M-Drawl or Superdrawl and Halidrawl. And there was all the, everyone was like.
Was it a hydroxycut? I remember hearing
that. No, that was Muscle Tech. Right? That was a fat burner. Hydroxycut was back in the day. That was because they had the ephedrine in it, right? That was when that formula was.
It was fine, yeah. It was ephedrine with some other stuff.
But I thought that... Did you used to take that back in the day, JD, or no?
Hydroxycut?
Yeah.
No, actually, for years, I never had to take any fat burners. I was always
lean.
If I ate clean, I stayed lean. With no cardio, too.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Man, that formula was... That was probably the best one with the ephedrine back in the day. It was... I remember that was my first year in college and senior in high school when that really started getting big. A lot of companies made a ton of money on the ephedra,
mm-hmm.
and then they banned it. But you can still get ephedra now, I know. Can't you? Like, I think...
It was not allowed, and then it was allowed.
Yeah. Or it wasn't like strong or something. It was...
I took one ephedrine pill one time.
I didn't like it.
I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to have a heart attack, so I was like, I don't like this. And I don't remember... I mean, it was allowed at the time. I got it from GNC or one of those places way back when. And I was like, I don't. And then it was not allowed. And then a couple years ago, some of the products that were not allowed, I saw them back on the shelves. And I'm like, oh, I guess it's allowed again.
It's back.
Yeah.
Jeez. I will say here, and we'll take a quick break. We are looking for a YouTube editor. Somebody and a transcriber. It is pulling teeth getting this. We have editor Mike does a great job, but he's filling back in doing the YouTube show, getting it back. But getting a transcriber, somebody contacted me again and agreed to everything, and then they just disappeared. So if we just need a simple transcriber to do the interviews or the wrestling stuff, and to submit it to a few places, very easy job, not the entire show. And contact me, thebigguy@feedmemore.com. We are still looking. And if you have
the transcriber is basically listening to the podcast and typing like the
yeah, there's and apps stuff. Too. For, like, it's not it's just essentially for that's kind of a way to put out get a little exposure for the show.
Yeah.
Just from like the interviews and the wrestling stuff of relevant information to those whatever sector we're trying to appeal to. But. Yeah,
I'll shoot a text to my friend.
Yeah, do that.
She just got pregnant, so I figured it'd be good to be at home and
work. That she have something to do.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that.
Okay,
see. But yeah, we're gonna take a quick break. And we'll be right back. We're going to talk about the John Oliver stuff going on, WrestleMania week, and we'll be right back after these messages. You've heard us talk about Real Good Foods before on the podcast, and just how much I love their Real Good pizzas and enchiladas. Now Real Good Foods also has their new poppers, which are a super low-carb cross between a chicken nugget and a jalapeno popper. All of their foods are low-carb, grain-free, gluten-free, and keto-friendly. Most items have as low as 3 to 4 grams of carbs per serving. From their chicken crust pizza, enchiladas, cauliflower crust pizzas, snack bite pizzas, and poppers, you can't go wrong with anything from Real Good Foods. All items are available at realgoodfoods.com, on Amazon, and in retail locations all over the country, with a store locator on their website. Save 10% with discount code RYBACK off of realgoodfoods.com. Real Good Foods. Feed me more. Hey, what's going on, guys? It's the big guy, RYBACK. And I want to talk to you about Fuel Meals, my personal meal prep service I've been using for years. Meal prep at your doorstep. Fuel Meals at fuelmeals.com has something for everybody. An easy way to eat healthy in this fast-paced life we are all living. Whenever I'm in a pinch, I go to my Fuel Meals, and I love it. I love to eat real food, but the fact is, I can't cook for every single meal of the day. So Fuel Meals come in handy for me when I need it most, and I think it could help you too. Tell them the big guy sent you, and use discount code THEBIGGUY to save 15%. FuelMeals.com. Feed me more. It's the big guy Ryback with Feed Me More Nutrition, and I just wanted to say thank you guys for another great year. We started the brand with 3 supplements, and we're now getting ready to release our 7th supplement, our 10-count creatine. We just released our GTS Go to Sleep high-powered sleep aid, so if you have a difficult time falling asleep or staying asleep, check out our all-natural GTS sleep aid available on feedmemore.com and Amazon. Speaking of feedmemore.com, we have all new domestic shipping rates. No shipping over $9.99 domestically anymore, with rates as low as $4.99. We want to be more competitive, and as a thank you guys for being loyal customers, offer you the best shipping rates we possibly can. So if you guys haven't checked out Feed Me More Nutrition, now's your chance. We are a premium all-natural supplement company that gives you safe, natural formulas that get results. FeedMeMore.com and Amazon. Get hungry. Stay hungry. Feed me more. We are back.
We are.
Having a little discussion off air about adding a new, the tits of the week. JD. Oh,
it's not that time. I didn't shave it either. So kind of a hairy tit.
Well, JD is the first tit of the week.
Yeah. And well, probably the last. That's
and the last show.
I got my third nipple hanging out over here. Yeah.
Episode 130. Episode 136. We're done.
Yeah.
It's WrestleMania week. JD, you sent me a nice picture before we get into the John Oliver stuff. I died laughing. That picture of the fan with the Joey Ryan. There's a guy. Joe is a guy in the porn industry and. You kind of understand.
We like to say adult industry.
Adult industry, sorry. Yeah. What are your thoughts on a guy? Because this is just something for me. I'm just not going to consume this content. I don't. It is what it is. But a guy, Joey Ryan, is held a penis party during WrestleMania week where it was an opportunity. That was something different, but it was essentially charging fans to come. And his character, his gimmick revolves around kind of like, he's kind of like a porn star almost, JD type of thing, or just a sleazy, like.
He's
I like
his
Joey.
His character is that he's just a real greasy, sleazy guy with mustache. This like super amazing dick. And like, if anybody so happens to grab his dick in the match,
it flips him over. It's like a finishing.
Oh, I think I've seen video. Was he in like the independent circuit for a little bit?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I think I've seen that. That was like.
But it's elevated to where now they're charging for photo ops with fans where they can actually come.
And their fans actually go to this?
If you looked at my Instagram,
oh,
I put a picture of.
They pay to grab his dick.
They pay, and they're literally. But they're literally doing it.
Okay.
And it's really weird. And like, I've never. I don't know. JD sent me that picture. I switched out the face with Mark for Life and posted it on my Instagram.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
No, I didn't get a chance to take a dump yet. So
hold on, I'll just show it to you.
Look at.
That was a real fan, though. I just switched out the face. That's really going on. Just from somebody in the adult industry and like with wrestling, what are your first thoughts on when you see something like that?
It's
funny.
The thing is, though, that's the thing about like the adult industry. It's like.
That's something you would expect to see there, maybe, though, right? Like in an expo.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, no?
A lot of things, yes. So a lot of the adult like companies that I worked with were actually professional as far as.
I feel like that would happen at an adult expo with somebody.
Yeah, if a male talent comes up to me and is like, hey, you want to grab my dick? I would not grab his dick.
No, with the girls.
No.
Like at some of
those
expos.
No, the girls, but I'm saying like sometimes they'll grab on.
Yeah.
Well, okay, the fans grab their boobs. The thing is, though, if they. They do it because, you know, it's funny and stuff like that. But that.
No, I'm saying. But that's,
but here's the thing, though. That's a guy touching another dude's crotch.
Which, again, though, in sexual orientation aside.
I understand that, but that's something you don't want to circulate on the internet. Okay? A lot of things you probably want to do in your private life.
I'm neutral on the situation. I have no. I'm just trying to get an outsider's perspective.
Yeah, but if in the adult industry, if a dude touch another.
It'd be weird, kind of like to kind of be doing that in public and charging people for it, right?
You can't say that you're neutral, though. I mean, that's like saying if you were in front of him and he's like, "Hey, you want to touch my dick?" You'd be like, wait a minute. Actually, hold on a second. I'm not
right." I
stated that's just content I would not consume.
Yeah, I mean, I had one male talent come up to me and think, "Hey, Joe, how much? $100?" And it's like, $100 for what? Because I literally thought he says, "Oh, do you want to like?" Hold camera for me, or can you get something for me? And it's like, wait, what's $100? What's $100 for what? It's like, I have some fans. They want me to have an Asian guy lick my toes.
Okay.
So would you do it for $100? Like, no. It's like, what? It's $100. Like, no.
Okay, it's not the direction I wanted to go.
This conversation just went.
Yeah.
Well, that's what hard, that
preface
like
is John Oliver.
Well, you brought up the adult industry, so
a hard and hairy left.
If I could be serious for just 1 minute. Oh man. Yeah. So WrestleMania week, and
they segue
dick grabbing, and
there's actually guys now getting naked in the ring. JD. Did you just see that?
No, I just saw on my Facebook that a freaking Japanese wrestling. A freaking Ronald McDonald lookalike came in there and started doing sexual acts on the ring. I'll show it to you after this.
There are now guys getting wrestling naked. Completely naked.
Like Greco-Roman style?
No. It's
homoerotic
style. Homoerotic style.
Bumping butts to butts in the corner. Yeah. Being naked and throwing each other's asses in each other's
face. Like you said, being neutral, you know, you can't judge.
No one's judging. We're just watching. We can have a conversation about
it. Yeah, we can definitely have a conversation.
I'd like to hear an outsider's perspective.
I definitely don't. I mean, that's something I wouldn't watch.
I feel that's not. I don't know what it is. That's something I wouldn't.
Because the thing is, though, if you bring a woman and a guy involved in it.
Oh, you can look in the crowd and see the disgust.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. That's 2019 pro wrestling for you.
Yeah.
It's not pro wrestling.
It's actually not pro wrestling.
It's not.
No, that's something else.
A lot of the guys suck too. I can't even hold back on that.
Quote unquote art. It's art.
Yeah. It's so anyways, tricky. JD, I know JD, you saw the entire John Oliver video, right? Hmm? You saw the John Oliver piece on the WWE, right?
Yep.
Joe, you saw parts of it?
No, I saw the entire thing.
You saw the entire thing?
Yeah.
It was, I highly recommend anybody listening to this podcast to watch it on YouTube. I think John Oliver WWE will be one of the first videos if you just type that in.
No, yeah, it's
It has millions of views already now. In my opinion, it's the best piece to be put out on this subject of the WWE independent contractor employee deal. And
yeah, John Oliver went in really in depth of what's going on.
And I'll have Ryan Satin will probably be on next week because I did see a video of where he had multiple
viewpoints of the situation. Remember a couple weeks ago, I actually sent you a Joe Rogan segment where he did talk about a little bit about pro wrestling.
Yeah, I didn't watch. I couldn't. So that was with Usman.
I forgot who it was. But
yeah, that was with Usman, the fighter that just won the champion.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but he talked
I couldn't
about,
watch all of it.
No, he talked about how WWE, how you guys take a toll, you know, your body and the mm-hmm. injuries and, you know, just briefly discuss how you know, you guys are not.
There's a lot of people don't understand about the whole situation. Like the way, So the John Oliver guy, obviously he has a team of writers. They have people there, but they put, and I don't know, I'm not familiar. I've seen him before. I've seen him do other wrestling stuff before. The video was hilarious at times, but it was put together in a very entertaining way, built around facts. And which I have found out, by the way, WWE threatened to sue him and some other things I found out from talking to people and whatnot, which don't worry, John, they won't do anything to you. I could promise you on that. But that's like their little bully tactics. And it's not being bitter, negative. It's a true, this is what happens. And I have real experience on that end of how they do act and that sort of thing. But a lot of people watched it, and I think a lot of people look at it. And to me, this is the best chance for something to be done. Because if everyone would just share this video, just circulate it. Mm-hmm. I feel like it would give it the best chance for something to be done, because for whatever reason and throughout the years, they're the only place to really essentially get away with this, right, JD? As far as the whole independent contractor employee thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't understand how, and I've seen Jesse Ventura talking about it years ago on Howard Stern, like nobody can actually understand how they're able to get around this.
Well, I told you they even brought it up at Linda's confirmation hearing. Well, she was warned about WWE's monopolistic practices.
Yeah.
And they said your use, borderline abuse of 1099s, but they didn't. They said they would discuss those topics in a closed setting, not in the public setting. So they didn't actually discuss it.
They never discuss it.
Well, they must have, but nothing, you know, came of it, right? But they were public. She was publicly, you know, warned about it at her Senate hearing. But I don't know how it's maybe it's just because it's not illegal technically. I don't know.
I don't know either. It's
because everything that, like, if they say show up at noon and you don't and you're under contract, they can't do anything to you, but you know that they will, right?
No, they can fine you. They can do.
That's what I'm saying. They're not. They won't fire you over that because that could raise a stink in regards to independent contractors.
If somebody was smart enough to know that, but yeah,
if they were, but they'll punish you in other ways, right? They'll fine you. They'll book you differently. They'll take you off TV. Take you off house shows.
They tell you what to say to a T. Yeah. You're not allowed to vary
nowadays. Yeah,
now like so they tell you how to dress. There's a dress code. At all times, like there's a lot of different things in there.
Social media, what to post, what not to post.
They made everyone. That's something I told everyone before. That's another. See, this is something. This is why I wanted to talk about this because I can share actual factual things.
Listen, there's been employers in other lines of work.
Yep.
That got in trouble for texting their employees after hours. Right. There's been cases where somebody's off the clock at 5:30, and their boss texts them at 8:00. And they get in trouble saying, listen, if you're going to talk to them at 8:00 about work, that's you owe them overtime.
Yeah.
Like you can't even text. You know what I mean? Like now most people aren't going to complain because it takes 30 seconds to write a text back. Yeah. But in the eyes of the law, they can't do that.
No. There is just no rules with this with them, and they get away with a lot. That's what the social media thing. They brought everyone, and I've told this story before. They brought us all in a room. This was towards the end up there. And I was, as far as I was aware, I was the only one that didn't sign it. They strong-armed everybody into signing over their social media accounts, where essentially they could delete your accounts, they could do whatever, and that way they can have full control over your account, and which is very dangerous, especially considering I knew at that point that I wanted out. Mm-hmm. I didn't want them to, and which I, and I've shared this, that when I left, they threatened me with legal letters
to hand it over.
To hand over, to sign over all my social media. Just hear how they literally told me I had to sign over all my social media accounts I created on my own. That had nothing to do with WWE. Or right. That, but that was their way of trying to control a situation. Like, people need to understand that this is the norm. This is how they act. And they get around these things time and time again. And it's not...
But you want to know why? It was because you were using social media.
Yeah.
To do what? To tell your story.
To tell my story. And it's the most powerful tool we have right now.
And if they were able to take the social media away from you, you would not be able to talk.
Yeah. And that has been one of my things. And I stated, and I'm going to share some information with people why I'm so passionate about this, because of my ankle situation and how I was treated and all that and the things. And to this day, and a lot of people don't understand, they hear guys that aren't there anymore, that when, and they speak up. This isn't for me. This is to try to make it better for the wrestlers there now and for the future. Learn from the past mistakes, because it doesn't, everyone, well, it's always kind of been that way. Well, it's always been wrong. And it, so, and that doesn't make it right. And then,
no, I disagree with that, because in the 80s.
I know what you're going to say here, yeah.
Yeah. With the territories, people got paid based off of how many fans they drew. You really were like an independent contractor, because you were given your finish. Yes, you were in control of your character. You were in control of your match. You were in control of your promo. So you were in control.
You could go work other places.
You could work other places.
Other territories, yep.
But as far as like grabbing the brass ring, it was like 95% you.
It was up to you to go out there and get over it, more so.
Exactly. So you had control over your destiny. And you weren't told, be at the building at this time, and you have to do this, you have to do that. You, as long as you showed up to wrestle and did your job, and you drew fans, you got paid based off that percentage of the gate. It was completely different. All of these independent contractor aspects applied then, but by the end of the 80s, when you just had WCW and WWF, it pretty much didn't apply then, and that's how long it should have, since there should have been a change.
What year do you think that was?
Well, I think what, 87, 88 was pretty much the absolute end of every of the territories, I think.
And the story, isn't the story that goes that supposedly, and with, was it Jesse Ventura back then, and they were trying to get a wrestlers union?
Well, yeah, because they went to Hollywood. Yeah, they went to Hollywood in the 80s. Piper and Ventura did, right?
Yeah. And then it was supposedly Hogan that put the kibosh on all that. Is that a true, or that's a rumor?
That's 100% true, because his money would have been affected, and he was making boatloads.
Yeah.
And what happened was it didn't come out till a couple years later during the steroid trial. When Vince was put on the stand.
Yeah.
They said, you know, they brought up the stuff about independent contractors and unions and stuff, and they said, well, how, you know. The situation came up, and he says, well, Hogan told me. Or it was either he was on the stand and he said Hogan, or Hogan was on the stand and he said, I told Vince. One of them said it in court. So, and then it was like, wow, okay, so you literally killed it for the whole company.
And that's the thing, too, that with people, here's the argument, and this is for fans, all this is there's nobody looking over the wrestlers. And that's the problem, and that's a very dangerous, scary situation. And the industry is screwed up as it is.
But they make enough money, you should take care of yourself.
Yeah, but they don't understand that that's not the case for the majority of guys. And the money is not good. I know people there on very, very, very low salaries, and they're on the road just as much as all the guys that are the small group of people that are making a little bit more. But they ask, they go, well, the people there aren't saying anything. People under contract to WWE or independent wrestlers aren't going to say. because they all want to go there, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So, and WWE knows this, and they prey on this. Mm-hmm. And then you're dealing with, like, the quote-unquote portion of fans who are, you should just be lucky. You wrestle, you get to travel the world. And they can't understand. They're comparing it to something you can't compare it to. Mm-hmm. They're not looking at it as a separate thing, and they just can't understand it.
Well, because they don't understand the business side.
No, and it's not, and it, and there is a lot of holes in this and how they treat the talent, and they literally, in their own thing, the wrestlers are their most important.
Yeah,
is no WWE, and they acknowledge that, yet the wrestlers are treated the absolute worst.
Yeah.
And I can tell you this, it's not because I walked away, I left. It's not because I'm bitter, I'm angry. It is because of how, and I'm going to share with you, like I did early on in the podcast, a situation with me and how they treated me and things, how they strong-armed me. And I vowed to myself when this all happened that I was going to, at one day, I'm going to make this all better one way or another. And I don't know how. The only thing I know is this John Oliver piece struck a chord with a lot of people, mm-hmm. and it needs to keep striking a chord with more and more people because they're going to be forced to eventually have to make changes. And this isn't me looking for a handout. I don't want anything from them. My time, I left. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I'm trying to do this for the guys now that can't say anything and for the future. It is a selfless act all the way of holding this organization responsible. And people that are angry at the like, you got people that are saying John Oliver, they're judging him. Well, he does blah blah blah. They're letting their personal opinion of the guy. What you think about him is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
It's the information that was put out is all true.
Yeah.
And there's different levels to this, and people need to understand why I'm passionate about this. And I'll go back when I broke my ankle and leg when I was in the Nexus with WWE, and they sent me. They had a guy named Matt that was fired down at Florida Championship Wrestling, making all my decisions for me that he should not have been making, sent me to a doctor who botched the entire ankle surgery on my mm-hmm. ankle and leg. The guy did nerve damage all the way down my leg. I lost function of my foot and my big toe. I still don't have function of my big toe. Required 3 surgeries. I was out a year and a half. The doctor that fixed my leg in Birmingham, like they didn't send me to Birmingham, Alabama. They tried to save money and sent me to a doctor in Tampa.
Right.
There were a lot of things that we've discussed it in the past on this podcast, and there were a lot of mistakes made at a lot of different levels. When I got the metal taken out of my leg, the doctor said, three doctors told me I was never going to wrestle again, that they didn't think that it was going to be possible with the damage that had been done to my leg. So I see this doctor, Dr. McBride, who has been killed in a car accident since, that fixed my leg, that saved my career. He goes, I can't promise you anything, but this will give you the best chance of hopefully being able to wrestle. That day after the surgery, John Laurinaitis called me, who was in charge of talent relations at the time. And the call was being recorded. And I could hear how it was being recorded because it sounded, you could hear it on when it was, there was a way to tell when they're recording you, when it was a very politically correct call, let me just say that. And I knew right then and there, I go, oh, they're going to try to fire me at some point. And sure enough, I was at the gym and they gave me the call. I was getting ready to get cleared to make an attempt to come back. I was going to be able to probably come back. But I had a lot of damage still to my leg. But I knew I had to get, I was out a year and a half. And John Lauren, I just called and fired me. This is after Nexus. I was 29 years old. And I was just getting ready to get cleared. I wasn't even cleared yet. Fired me over the phone. Well, no. 20 minutes going off on them, you're not firing me. Blah, 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 a bunch of They send me my firing papers on accident. I still got the firing papers to this day. I had to go get attorneys. I had to then call them back, what the is going on? He freaked out. No, 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 rip those papers up, rip those papers up. I went and took them right to my attorneys, who then started building a case against WWE. For what they had done was illegal.
Do you remember at that time too, right when that happened, you came over, I had just moved to Florida and you came over and you had a file folder and I said, you had the file folder with you. And I said, what's this? And that's when you hadn't really told me much over the phone and you had all the papers.
I don't even remember that. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was, I have everything locked up in a safe. It is, people wonder why it is, you got to understand my story and what happened. So my intention was I never wanted to do anything against WWE. I just wanted my opportunity to go there to do what I loved and make a living wrestling and be my best. I also had a multi-million-dollar lawsuit against the doctor, Dr. Herskovici, down in Tampa, at Tampa General, who the surgery, who the doctor that fixed me had filed the, he was going to testify and that all the damage that he went in and fixed on that this guy had screwed up on. So WWE, I had to kind of force them to put me back on the road. It was, they tried to put me back in developmental. This kind of goes back to me and Hunter. I had to say, nope, I'm not going back to developmental. And I drove back to Vegas. I moved home on my own. They kept me at home for a few months, 2 or 3 months. And then they finally brought me on the road. And that started my journey back to WWE as Ryback. But there was a lot of, if I would have just gone with the flow, I would have, one, been fired, or two, they would have just put me in developmental and let me rot down there for the rest of the till. And my ankle could not handle it at that time. Mm-hmm. So, fast forward, I'm now Ryback in the WWE. I'm now in the main event. And this is getting ready going into the match with CM Punk. This is shortly before that at Hell in a Cell. And people, I always explain why, if you look at my career and what they did with me, it all goes back to this. Jane Geddes, that dumb called me, who was working for WWE. And I say dumb, and I mean that nicely. Jane. And that is...
That's the nicest way.
Yeah, nicest way I could possibly ever say that. She was working in I think, John Laurinaitis' position at that time. He'd since been bumped down. And again, this wasn't ever, this was from the top. This was from Vince, Hunter, whoever. This was from the top, called and actually forced me and threatened me with my job that if I did not drop the lawsuit against the doctor for millions of dollars, which had nothing to do with WWE,
right,
it was a done deal. Like, this, the attorneys had been working on this now for some time. And she said, if I want to remain with the company or want to stay in the position that I'm being used in, I need to drop the lawsuit. Which, the what's the period that once it ends, JD?
Statute of limitations.
Yeah. Sorry, thank you. That was coming up very shortly. Like, within, I think we were down to weeks.
Yeah.
We had to move. And the attorneys were waiting for me to give them the green light. And I called them and said, we need to drop the lawsuit, in which they pleaded with me to come in and speak with them, in which I did on my day off. And they said, you need to go through with this. This is don't trust them, blah, blah, blah. I go, no, everything will be good. I'll be a team player. I'll be a good soldier. This is what they want. And I dropped the lawsuit. And once the statute of limitations ended, that's when they started WWE. So so people can understand how personal this is for me, on why I'm very passionate about this, but where I'm coming from, so that this never happens to any other wrestlers. And because a big point that they brought up was the health insurance. And wrestlers are covered in the ring for injuries. This is a real thing. If you get hurt there or anything of that nature, they will cover you while you're there. But once you're gone, there is no health care. There is no system. Nothing in place. And this is what they were talking about on the John Oliver piece. And you've seen, they've given examples of past wrestlers dying young. Now, there's a fine line here. The wrestling industry, and part of the problem is the schedule Vince puts these guys on, causes you to f*** up your life.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people, it is the most f***ed up existence of probably any. There's no off season. There's no days off when you're there, essentially. You're going. And you're injured and you're hurt. So what do you think starts happening? You start creating bad habits to cover up all this stuff, because the human body's not meant to do this 4 or 5 nights a week, because he's using human bodies to make his billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That's what their people are just trying to make aware that, okay, that is what the business is. Take care of your assets, of these people that are giving you their lives, so that you can have all that. It would take a small percentage of what he has to put some plans in place where everything, it would make all the difference in the world. But you see these guys that are dying young, and then you see, well, they say, well, they have drug addictions or this and that. It, well, they came from somewhere. Yeah. And the responsibility falls on the talent, obviously. You can't, but there's different things in place, and I could say this firsthand, knowing because I talk to them and I talk to people there who they tell me, we get hit up all the time by past performers who their insurance won't cover their injuries, and they ask if we'll cover them, and they flat out told me, well, I have to tell them no. Mm-hmm. And they felt horrible over that. The person that's responsible for telling them no, but they're not the one, it's not their company, they're just doing what they're told.
Right.
So that, and now, and me knowing what I know with my back and my shoulder, not once of those mother, all my injuries are from them. My shoulder mm-hmm. is from their doctor filling me with cortisone, telling me I was going to be okay, ate away all my cartilage. And I like Dr. Amen. I like Dr. Amen a lot, but it straight up lies. Mm-hmm. And now I'm dealing with that. I've paid for all that. I've never asked them to pay for my back and shoulder things. But it's I'm motivated to take care of myself in other ways where I'm not financially, I need them to take care of me. But there's a lot of guys there that they don't make the money. And this is what we're trying to raise awareness. People don't understand. $100,000 there, guys. Take out money for taxes and traveling expenses and food and business clothes, because you need to have business clothes because they tell you how to dress all the time. Mm-hmm. And all these other things and bills. You don't, it ends up where you'd be better off having a regular job.
Yeah.
Well, you so lucky you're a professional wrestler. It's the hardest life that exists mm-hmm. on the planet. And it's not your place to sit there and say, well, you should be, because you should be so lucky. You're talking like a mark when you do that. Mm-hmm. And it's the most annoying thing. We're trying to raise awareness for something for these guys that literally break their backs for people's entertainment. And they're doing what they're told from the company.
Exactly. Otherwise, you don't have a job anymore. And you know, even John Oliver's segment, they showed that, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts and a bunch of other wrestlers had to create a GoFundMe to pay for their medical bills.
Yeah. And that's, some guys are better with their money than others. But the point is, a lot of the guys didn't make that much money. And back then, they were getting over royally on many different levels.
Yes.
Well, it's like I explained. Some people also don't understand, too, the way the insurance has been, especially in the United States.
Yeah.
Okay. Just being a wrestler is going to get you classified as having a pre-existing condition.
Yep.
Yeah. Putting that down.
Now, if you hurt your shoulder while you're wrestling for WWE, but your shoulder isn't too bad, and then say you quit or you get released.
Yep.
Well, in 2 or 3 years, something happens. You go to take your shirt off and you blow your shoulder out. And don't say it can't happen, because Sami Zayn blew his shoulder out just raising his arms to the crowd in his debut match on Raw, right? That's how his shoulder was so worn down. That was the straw broke the camel's back. He just raised his arms up.
Yep.
Well, you go to, you need surgery. And your insurance company says, well, you're a wrestler. We believe you injured your shoulder in the ring. We're not covering this. Or maybe you had a little scope or a little small something a couple years before and they covered it. This time around, you need a big surgery. Sorry, we're not covering it. You need a replacement. You need this. You need that. That's 30, 40, 50, 100,000. How do you pay for that?
Exactly.
Right? Like, and so let's just say a wrestler was smart with their money and he's in his 50s and he needs a shoulder surgery or a wrist surgery, or, you know, guys like you don't even hear about it, but Brett's talked about it where he's had his hands and his wrists because he's had tons of
health problems,
tons of small surgeries, elbows, and he always wore elbow pads. Like, these things come back later in life, and even if you're smart with your money, how far does your money go? $50,000 for a surgery, $100,000 for a surgery.
I told you my stem cells, they tried to bill me $100,000+ because insurance didn't want to cover it,
right?
And I had to fight tooth and nail on that to get it cut. That was a on that one. And that was just two of the 11 procedures. That adds up really quickly. And because there's nothing in place.
So people don't have a concept of that. They don't have a concept of money in terms of like $100,000 in WWE is not the same as a lawyer who makes $100,000.
Not at all.
Not even close. Nope. The lawyer makes the $100,000.
Yeah.
The wrestler makes $100,000, but they have, you know, you all those expenses. You can only deduct so much, but, you know, people don't realize eating in restaurants all the time, the work clothes,
airport cost,
ring gear, tanning fee, tanning fees,
gym, or daily gym memberships.
Some gyms will ding you $20 for a drop in.
Yep.
right? You
More
know,
than that, maybe, even some of them. It's crazy.
Sometimes they'll let you in for free, but sometimes they don't. A rental car, gas, it costs more to
you gotta
drop
pay
the car.
For, by the way, you got to pay for all your rental cars and hotels just for everybody. That's another way. And that was one of my things that I didn't want to. I was like, I was done. I knew I was leaving, that I had in my contract that changed. People don't understand. You're paying literally. What they wonder, like, why do the wrestlers all travel together? It's because they don't make enough money, most of them, and they got to literally share a car, three to four of them at a time, sharing hotel rooms. Superstars. Yet the owner is a multi-billionaire, and I'm telling it. It's this is what I when I wrote the pay blog. It was just the entire structure is, and it, people need to understand. And you got a small group of people that are doing well, that are making enough money. Where you know what? That's probably not an issue for them. Because it's they're getting
but yeah, but here's that here's the one other thing people don't understand. They'll say, well, this guy's making $500,000, he can afford to take care of himself. That's not the point. The point is if they weren't an independent contractor, they would be getting that $500,000 plus so much more, which would actually take care of their lives and their families so much better. Because yes, they're making $500,000 this year. But again, 35-40% to taxes. All the other expenses, yes, they still come out ahead 100 or 200 grand, maybe. But what happens if they get dropped on their head?
Yeah.
And it's a minor neck injury now. They just get through with some physio and rehab. But in 5 years,
which you work because you don't want to lose your spot, and they for, and you have
but
to
you
work.
Don't, hurt. But you don't need surgery today.
Yeah, yeah.
But in 5 years, it comes back to bite you in the ass. You're not working for the company anymore. How much is a standard neck procedure going to cost?
Oh yeah,
right.
$150,000, $200,000. Yeah. Like that money doesn't last. And then when you're not working there, you know, you build a life while you're there. You have, you know, your family, your home, vehicles. You're accustomed to living, even if you're living below your means.
Yeah.
If you're not there and that paycheck's not coming, you can only survive for so long. And then if you do throw in any wild card aspects of health issues or injuries that resurface or whatever, like that money doesn't last.
No, and it's just there's no plan in place. There's nothing looking out over the wrestlers, which is the main point of all of this. And why is that? And so many people are afraid to have that discussion, and they don't understand.
Why
people there
that?
Can't say anything.
Why? Like, okay.
Because people don't care, and it's not the people's job to care about. They're like, well, the wrestlers shouldn't sign the contracts. The wrestlers should speak up. The problem is they have created an environment of fear where that if 5 people spoke up there, what do you think is going to happen to those 5 people?
They're going to get fired.
They're going to get fired eventually. They're going to get pulled off of TV. They're going to get, or they're going to get jobbed out really bad.
And they get sued. They'll
get fired 2 years later when they're quote unquote worthless.
Right.
The fans will also understand either because, or I shouldn't say they don't understand. They also don't care because I've seen so many times, anytime there's a topic of care or money, they'll sit there and say, you know, I make $35,000 a year, and I'm working 50 hours a week. I would do that job for $50,000, and I would never complain. And it's like, you guys don't understand.
They don't understand, and that's not the.
It's not $50,000 in your pocket.
No,
it's not $50,000, and they pay for everything. Like, you don't understand.
But people, that's looking at it from a very.
They'll say, well, then why did the wrestlers still sign the deals? Because
that's their dream. You don't understand what it's like until you're there
When you first, like, oh my God, I'm in WWE.
But the other problem is they prey on the people's, one, the love of the business, but also for people's, a lot of people have this strong desire to be famous and to be recognized. So they prey on that. So anybody, well, how dare they complain? But I never once, I don't give a fuck about being famous. I don't give a shit to, like, some people don't give a f- about that, but I'm telling you, that's what the company preys on, that in people's love of the business. So, and again, if 5 people were to, so back to my thing on the pay blog, when I wrote that pay blog, I got a lot of texts from wrestlers saying thank you that day.
When was that?
I left WWE.
Okay.
Back almost a few years ago.
And where is this blog?
It's online. Just the Ryback pay blog. Right, yeah.
Okay. I'll read that.
I should have had it edited before I put it out, but I had some drinks on the plane and hit send. I was pissed too. I should have sent it to the E-Angel app to edit the but it was good. But one girl spoke up publicly, Ariane Andrews Cameron from WWE, and she publicly put a tweet out, amen, or like agreeing with it.
Yes.
And I know I got a lot of texts that day from pro wrestlers, and I'll never expose that, the people that texted me on that. What do you think happened to that girl?
Gone.
She was fired within days.
Yeah.
Fired. And then they blamed it on something else.
Of course.
So that, yeah. And then they sent me a bunch of legal. And it's like, this wasn't, but people will like look at this and say, you're being negative, you're being bitter, you blah, blah, blah. No, I walked away. I'm telling you point blank. I've told you my story, what they've done with me, and my intentions are I want wrestling to be better for the wrestlers of today. All the independent guys, this is because we want it to be better for you so you don't have to deal with this later on in life. I know firsthand it's the worst thing in the world to love a company and want to work for a company and to be exposed to a lot of this that goes on. I talk to talents there. I know what's going on. This isn't me making stuff up as a fan sitting at home speculating. These are facts based off what I know from people I know there. And you got guys and then people like, they'll look at the top people and they're making a bunch of money. So this doesn't apply to them because they're making a bunch, but in years down the road, they may not have all that money and it will apply to them,
right.
But they're not, those people aren't going to speak up. And people like the John Cena's, the Stone Cold's and the Rock's, they're, for whatever reason, it's this weird mentality where they like have this, they're loyal to Vince because Vince in this fake world made them money.
Yeah.
And so they're loyal and they're like, well, we don't need to speak up on it. We're okay.
Yeah.
And it's annoying because I'm okay, but I'm not as okay as them.
Do you think that they have maybe like a contract? Because like the thing is like people, like wrestlers come and go.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you think they have, let's say, if they start saying something, let's say The Rock or like WWE say like, look, if you say something about this, we can come after you.
Do you think that could be Austin?
But
there's nothing.
Well, Austin's under contract.
Yeah, Austin's under contract. And it's, but the thing is that they don't even have the discussion. They don't have to come out and go the aggressive style that maybe I am, because it's very personal to me, and I'm very upfront about that. These guys, though, if they would just simply share it, or you know what, great piece, John Oliver.
Yeah.
That just something like that alone, because it was a great piece, and anyone that's in wrestling knows it's great. I can tell you for a fact. Every wrestler in WWE is probably praying that something does happen with this, but they can't say anything.
Why hasn't this come out like earlier? Is it like
this is what we don't understand? And Vince has connections and ties to something where they are
probably political too.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. There's politics involved in this. There's some way they have been able to get around this where nobody has questioned them on it, or if they are questioned, nobody's actually gone through with anything.
Right.
That's why the John Oliver. So this is what I need people to understand. This piece is the best chance this has ever had for something to come about of this. All you have to do is share this video and comment on it and just keep it circulating because it will be seen by the right people eventually.
Oh, yeah, I hope so.
But they need the fans because the people, when people come together, the noise gets louder. And so you need people to come together on this. Because the people that are there doing it can't say anything. The independent wrestlers aren't going to say anything because they want a job there.
Right.
So and WWE knows this, they've just gotten away with it for so long. And it's nobody being bitter, it's nobody being negative. It is solely trying to make wrestling better for the wrestlers so they're taken care of. They're not getting free handouts. The owner is a multi-billionaire.
Yeah.
Who has made very few millionaires. Remind you, it made very few. But if you look at them, just so people know too, just another little random true fact, those WWE access signings during WrestleMania week, where some wrestlers get 8, 9, 10 signings, usually they like to use the fresh talent and make the older, more experienced talent don't get as many of them. They still get 3 or 4. Those access signings that WWE charges for, guess how much the wrestlers get paid? Zero.
Zero. Yeah.
Zero. For those signings. And I used to question that shit all the time, and they hate that. I used to do, and for people that used to go to the live events when I was working on top against Cena, or at that period of the 2012 and 13, $20 photos of Ryback or John Cena cost WWE pennies to make. WWE would make $19 and something cents on each photo, and we would get I don't know if it was like 30 cents or 40 cents or something ridiculous. Like, just so you can see the percentages for a $30 shirt for WWE ordering mass amounts, it could be your idea. You are getting, I think it was $1 a shirt, something crazy, and they're making the rest.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the percentages are all off. And that's what people, but you can't, If you question them, they've done a thing. They've created this developmental system. This NXT is now pushing those guys. Because you know why? Because those guys don't like to speak up. Because, I'm just so happy to be here. I'm a WWE superstar. Yeah. There's that group of people, too, that's going on. So they need outside people to make noise about this and just to look at the facts, see what this company's getting away with, seeing that this doesn't exist anywhere else, and then, okay, let's do something about this. But
yeah, it's crazy how the WWE had became such a huge monopoly. You know, because they bought a lot of, you know, what? They bought WCW. They bought TNA.
They bought up everything.
And yet, the government or things hasn't came up and said, hey, you have a monopoly. You should be broken up.
And I'm up for the thing is, and this isn't, there's a lot of good that WWE does, and they are capable of so much more. And I don't know if it's going to take Vince dying and then Hunter eventually. Because for whatever reason, Vince has this carny thing about him from what he learned from his dad of not letting the wrestlers know how valuable the wrestlers are, even though everybody knows the wrestlers are the most valuable thing.
I mean,
he showed
a video of Vince in an interview saying that...
Making a fool of himself.
Yeah, making a fool of himself, and but also saying in an interview about I think a reporter said that, hey, we noticed that a lot of the WWE wrestlers have been dying early. Is there any connection between the wrestlers? And he just literally says, I don't know.
Why don't you tell her?
Why don't you ask the same question yourself?
Yeah.
And the reporter is like, I'm asking you an honest question.
Could have been a very good discussion, and smacked
his piece of paper and just became so defensive, not even answering the question.
Yeah. It's... And I don't know what needs to be done as far as there, but there's, because they clearly have connections one way, shape, or form. And to be able to get away with it for this long, I just think people need to understand why the wrestlers don't say anything that are there. Why do you sign the contracts? You've worked your whole life to do this. You don't understand what it is necessarily. I tell you, too, they've now do where that Mark Carano was notarized. Where they get talent, JD, I don't know, because they try to do it to me, where they try to get you to sign the contract in the office without any legal representation. Mm-hmm.
That's one other thing that I think fans don't understand. Like they hear maybe, you know, big contracts or bigger contracts, and they, you know, you hear about sports figures and everything.
You can't compare to others. It's not even close.
They don't understand that in pro sports, everybody has an agent, everybody has a lawyer, sports are unionized. So don't ever think that the player is actually in the room with the owner talking money or talking details. The lawyer or the talent talks to the agent talks with the lawyer, and then either the lawyer talks to the owner of the company or the agent does, but it's the talent does not. The talent signs when it's time, but all the negotiations, all the demands, all the things, and then, of course, everything that's unionized, all that means is the bar – the standard is up to a certain level.
Yeah.
Because like in wrestling, it's like a zigzag, right? There's no standard. So it's higher for some guys. It's lower for more guys. Yeah. It's very inconsistent. But with the union,
and there's no
it's
way
like,
to know. And that's the other thing.
There's we no way to know. That's
we don't
right.
know.
You don't know.
Just so you don't forget to stay where you're at, not to cut you off, but just to give people another real life example. Did a UK tour, or we did the 2-week tours for WWE. Your payouts... You can't even – I used to keep track of the gates and try to figure things out with the houses because you used to be able to keep track with that stuff. They don't like that because you can tell them when they're over on pay. Did a 2-week tour, and I believe I've talked about this with Curtis Axel, Ryback Axel, where we were doing the opening match against the Shield for the John Cena refund match. Zero refunds, by the way, for that entire tour with John, without John. Randy Orton was working Roman Reigns in the main event. Randy – got hurt supposedly the first week in. So me and Axel then had to then turn it into a 6-man tag and work the second half of the tour in the main events against the Shield, in which Orton, who was hurt, couldn't be in the match. He took a Superman punch on the very end of the match by Roman outside on the, never had to get in the ring once. I had the two torn groin muscles at this time working, hurt, taking double comebacks, me and 25-30 minute match, me and Axel doing everything. So you would think that we're working in the main events on this tour, we're doing the John Cena refund match, we're coming out in the beginning of the show, we're coming out at the end of the show, we're all over the on the shows, but because we're being used kind of half on TV during my quote-unquote punishment period. We finally get the pay for that European tour. I made $13,000 for working whatever. We were on the road 20-something days. Yeah. It was my worst payday on any of the European tours. I had made more at different points. But the houses were all great. We had some of our best houses on that. And it was sold out night after night. And I went in, and this is when I came back after my groin. I got my groin repaired. And that payout came, whatever it was, 2 months later, whatever the time period it was later. And I'd ask questions. I go, I'm not happy about this. I want more. Like, that's not, that doesn't cut it. Right. I literally was working. Hurt in front of sold-out crowds working in the main event.
The other wrestlers got paid the
same way? But there's no way to... So my point is on all this, there's no way to know. And if you question it, I was again threatened. Well, you're getting ready to come back. We're going to turn you back as the old Ryback face, baby face again. You probably shouldn't say anything. So you're looking... That is a real-life example of them. They handcuff you because you're there at the time.
Yeah.
You're, well, if I don't say anything, maybe everything will work out. Maybe I'll start getting, quote-unquote, pushed better. My paychecks might start improving. But there's no way to know. They can literally rape you anytime they want on pay, and you can't do anything about it. Mm. So that's a problem that should not be exist at that level. People need to understand. It's not, okay, I'm very thankful I got to make $13,000, okay? I'm very thankful, which it wasn't $13,000 by the time you can figure taxes and everything. And then pay taxes over there as well on some
and
of these.
And do the math on literally not just your time in the ring, but how much time you weren't at home.
Yeah,
every minute you're not at home, you're on the clock.
On the road, yeah, working. And it was in those tours, you end up doing like 17 or 18 matches in 22 or 23 days with TVs. It's a ridiculous schedule. The point being is just giving you a real life example for the people listening. But there's no way to actually know what you should make because they don't provide that information to you and they don't want to provide it to you. Whereas if there was a union or there was some sort of structure or plan in place, that information would have to be made known. And then other wrestlers would know what other wrestlers are making. That's where it goes all back to where the whole pay structure is. And people don't understand there's such a discrepancy between what a John Cena makes and what all these other guys are making, but they're on the road and doing all the same stuff. It's not saying Heath Slater should make what John Cena's making. I'm talking about the gap is too big is what it is. And it doesn't make sense for the work that is being done. And it's not being done for me. It is being the pay thing was taken out of context by some dumb. Also, it wasn't. I raised a question that equal pay, raising a question to have a discussion on the pay structure of the entire organization and how it is. Which all of this kind of exposes that on different levels. But it's coming from a real standpoint of being there and knowing the talent there that can't speak up. I talked to some talent this past week, and I'm not going to say any names. Keep doing what you're doing. They are. I know people there working with numb arms, neck injuries. They can't say anything because they're afraid to lose their spot. They can't say anything. So it's up. That's why the John Oliver wants the fans. He's not trying to ruin your WrestleMania.
Because
these people are wrestling fans.
Yeah.
They know how up it is. They're trying to do this to make wrestling better for the wrestlers. And if you're a wrestling fan, if you have guys. Telling people WWE's done a great job also of confusing the fans. I love WWE. I love WWE. When you
anything that's not I love them is attacking them.
Yeah,
like they see the John Oliver piece is attacking.
Yeah, but WWE, you love WWE. You love the wrestlers that make up WWE at that current time. Mm. You love the wrestlers, but they've tricked you into you love the WWE brand. No, you love the wrestlers.
Right.
So this is a way to look out for the wrestlers. In John Oliver's piece, it's not attacking WWE. It is raising concerns on real-life issues, and nobody else is speaking up.
They're concerned about the wrestlers and not, you know,
hey, look at
WWE's product.
It happened with the NFL.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Between the concussion lawsuit and fans going, you know what, it's not really cool that these guys are getting hit in the head, and then 10 years after their career's over –
yes.
They're having health issues and mental issues, but you know, at least they had the union to protect them while they were there. And like, all it does is just give you that.
And they make a hell of a lot more money, by the way, too, than wrestlers.
They do. And I mean, yeah. But people, you know, if you love wrestling and you love the wrestlers, you would want all this would do is make things better. Like, I don't know all the numbers.
It's not a negative.
No, I don't know all the numbers and all the other sports, but I looked it up for the sake of because we were talking about baseball last week. That guy who signed for 10 or 12 years for $430 million. Yep. You think about how many players are in Major League Baseball. One guy is getting paid that much, right? But I looked it up for hockey because it's a little more
balanced.
Hockey is the least paid pro sport of the three. So your entry level guy, it's like, I think minimum wage is like $580,000.
Yep.
Okay. Now he's not going to play hardly at all in the season.
Yeah.
He's probably going to get
about the lowest level players as far as
That's the absolute minimum he's going to get paid. He's probably going to spend some time in the minors.
Mm-hmm.
Should he get called up, or even in the minors, it doesn't matter. You know, the transportation is covered.
Those are covered usually.
They travel on chartered buses, chartered planes. Medical is state of the art, top of the line at all times. Should he become a full time player, you know, his contract will probably move up and be somewhere in the neighborhood of, say, at least $1 million per season.
Yeah.
Now, when you factor that in to the, you know, the superstars of the league are making about $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that gap, right?
Yeah.
Joe Nobody is going to get $1.25 million, and a superstar is getting $8 million.
Yeah.
Now you think in WWE, your entry level road contract is $85,000.
Yeah, or somewhere in that vicinity.
Somewhere in that vicinity, yep. And then you know a John Cena makes $10 million.
Yeah.
Now obviously John Cena does more.
Yep.
Is more. Oh, now that's fine. But the difference between the sport and wrestling is in the sport, that $1 million entry level guy could become the $8 million superstar
free will and playing better in real life competition.
Yeah.
And in wrestling,
you can't.
They pick.
Yeah.
Now
because they've taken that element out of it.
Well, because they used to pick based off of who was already
organically getting over or
getting over on their own.
Heat, yeah.
Wow. Look, man, this guy can talk. We had no idea he could talk. Let's run with it. Or man, this guy's a really good worker. Let's run with him. Now it's like we're just picking whoever we want to pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that.
And there's been tons of inconsistencies with storylines and characters being dropped. Like, you know, you see Jim Ross talking about a little more now that he's not under contract.
Yeah.
Towards the end of his contract running out, he was saying, listen, you can't be flip-flopping heels and faces. You know, there was I think it was this year.
For the control. That's what it
but controls. But that's what I mean. And he was talking about there was like 15 people in a month who switched over from face to heel or heel to face in 1 month.
Yeah.
So, like, what is that? You're not invested in that.
No.
Your value's not going up or down.
But everyone has to do what they're told, and everyone – and they can – this is what I was saying to people – wrestling is so much different than these other things too, because and this is another problem what WWE does, and this is another fact, is they bring up these new guys and they pay them. I can remember when I first was Ryback, I could barely pay my bills. Like, they were keeping all my money and I wasn't making any because they kept me in a hole until they signed me on a new contract. But these people keep them on such low amounts. And where they literally are barely getting by, and they have to use them for a lot of the appearances, and they get away with it for like usually the first 2 or 3 years, and then the talent starts kind of getting smartened up a little bit in some of them, and some of them don't and whatnot. But they take advantage of this time and time again. But the discrepancy is so much that person that comes up could be the hardest working guy on the entire roster, doing the most amount of time in the ring, could be doing as far as. Comparing that to a John Cena, the pay gap is way too big. Sorry. Where they're not, it's not, they're not being, and then the hotels and rental cars and all that deal. There needs to be a plan in place. And the whole point of this is to get people talking, to start having discussions on this, to start having the right people having discussions on this, because something will be done. They will be forced eventually to do something. But when nobody, it really disheartens me, when the bigger names don't, to me, that's really a cheap way of. To me, you don't have a pair of balls on you, and you have no courage. And
well, look, here's an example.
You don't love wrestling, if that's your take.
Here's an example for the fans, if they want to get a better understanding. I just said lowest paid guy in the NHL, full time player, probably about $1 million, $1.25 million.
Yeah.
he could become the superstar.
Yep.
Let's just say he improves his game substantially. He's not superstar level. His initial contract is probably going to be 2 years. Then they're going to offer him a 2 or 3 year deal.
Mm-hmm.
He exceeded all expectations, and they go, you know what? We're going to sign you for, you know, $3 million, $4 million, and 4.7, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay, take Rusev.
Yes.
Rusev was not making superstar money. He was probably doing okay.
Yeah.
He was not being booked properly. Got himself over through social media.
Yep.
Started a grassroots movement. Do you think that when the arena was chanting Rusev Day, he went from making whatever he was making, let's say he's making $250,000, do you think that he went from making $250,000 to $750,000 or $1 million? Or did he make the same contract and they maybe just added in more merch?
Yeah, well, that was what, and I believe he did sign a new contract in there, and he did get, but it had more nothing money, to do. That was, they did that, and they actually gave him more money. And then squashed him really badly since, because they've done it. They've signed Del Rio to a bigger deal.
But my point is,
they'll throw money away just to bury a guy too.
But even with the contract,
yeah,
it's not like at the end of the deal they're like, okay, you were making $250,000, now we're going to do $567,000 or $678,000. It's not a huge
no.
It's not that massive jump. Like, well, this is what you deserve now,
yeah,
because you've shown us.
Another problem that they pay guys based off of how they book them. To win or lose. That's what I was saying. The whole problem, it's completely ass backwards. Like a guy, so I always use Heath because he's one of my favorite people. And Heath is not a jobber. But Heath, the way they have booked him, or a Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, that if they were to go in there and ask for a pay raise, or to say, they would go, well, you guys lose all the time. That is a real, they treat you.
Mm-hmm.
On the role that they are giving you and you doing your job. And it's all the same because it's fake.
Mm-hmm.
People don't even realize that back in the day, heels were paid more money than faces.
They should, because they're not getting merchandise.
They're not getting merch, and they're being booked in a way where they can only make their basic pay.
Yep.
Because the baby faces get booked to be over, and they can sell tons of merch and make tons of money. So the heels got paid more because that was all the money.
Which is what I was saying in the pay blog. Most guys, and this is another great point, JD, the talent, because all the guys, we all know what the is. It's the fans, some of them. And I say the fans, I'm talking about, and me and JD, we got another term for the bad fans, bullet heads. We got to talk more about. They've been shot in the head, but they somehow survived. If the pay structure was fixed and they didn't, they corrected it from what it currently is, talent would not have a problem putting other people over or doing anything of that nature because they know they are financially being taken care of to go out there and do the same exact job, whether they're winning or losing.
Right.
But the problem is guys, where problems come is because when they know they start getting used a certain way, their pay starts going down. It's a very real, which creates a lot of problems. But like, I've told you, I would, if I didn't see my pay fluctuating, I would never have a problem. It would suck because you want to be a winner. I think if you're competitive, you want to win. But like talent-wise and being there, you wouldn't have a problem putting other people over if everything was just structured better.
Yeah.
Because there's a huge gap and people don't understand that. And then they go, the bad thing is with these bullet heads, is they'll go, well, you shouldn't make the same as John Cena. Well, why is John Cena John Cena? I can tell you John Cena is because all these other guys have gone out there and agreed to let John Cena be John Cena.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, anyways, this is something that needs to be discussed over and over again.
Is a discussion on it.
Yeah.
And it could be better. And I think they will ultimately do the right thing and make things better. And that's all that I want.
I think it just takes Vince to
It takes time, but it takes people, the fans, discussing this and people sharing this and getting more people comfortable talking about it.
Yeah.
And I promise you something will be done. Yeah. And it will be.
Yeah. You know, like JD, you brought the hockey reference. When I lived in Chicago, we called the owner of the Blackhawks Dollar Bill Wirtz because he felt that why should I put televised hockey games when they can come to pay for tickets to go to my game? And then the fans literally says, well, screw you. We're not coming to the games. And so for literally almost right after the 92-93 when he starts selling out, you know, Belfour, Roenick, all the good players, Blackhawks sucked and no one came to the games. And then once the owner passed away, his son took over, and change all the, you know, okay, we're going to have televised games. We're going to have grassroots bring back the old players who made the Blackhawks great. And, you know, the Blackhawks starts winning again, and everyone was happy about it. So, you know, with the fact that Vince is such an old school guy, you know, hopefully, you know.
I just want them to do the right
thing. Yeah, do the right thing.
And I'm angry, and I want
people to understand. But it might take someone to step down.
Because of my personal situation with them. People need to understand. Yeah. If you understand that, and you can put yourself in that situation, I think you'll have a better understanding. And this isn't, again, I'm not getting anything out of this.
No.
This is, I'm trying to do this for the wrestlers because I know the situation. But I am motivated. You have to understand my motivation based off how I was treated and how my career ended up there. Mm-hmm. And I'm very frustrated over that. And I'm not, and I have, I want to see wrestling be better so nobody ever has to go through what I had to go through. And that's all. That's all that we want out of this. That I want out of this. Just do the right thing. But with that.
I think it's going to take more than the fans talking about it because I don't see enough fans.
No, but hopefully I'm saying
I think lawmakers.
Well, the only thing that I see that could kick it off is, you know, AEW has talked about giving guys.
If they started doing the right thing. And
they've said they want to try and do proper health insurance. Yeah. And if they
set
actually
the standard to a new high, guys will leave WWE and go there.
Or introduce something new.
Yeah.
That people so they can actually see that it's beneficial. Because it's one thing to talk about it.
Yep.
Most people just can't process it. But if they can actually see how it's beneficial, and then those guys are talking about it, or those wrestlers are talking about it, and they go, wait a minute, this stuff is not bad at all, guys. No. Like, this is, it just makes everything better.
That would be the best, honestly. That would, and I'm telling you, and for AEW, that would be a hell of a way to get talent to come over there,
mm-hmm.
is by actually doing the right thing. Wrestlers in a heartbeat. I will tell you, in a heartbeat. You'll still have those, oh, I need to go work for WWE. But a lot of guys will, you know what? This is way better. This is, I want this. This is.
No, well, I mean, this whole, I mean, I always worried about, like, what if WWE decided to buy AEW?
Well, they haven't even started yet.
I know it hasn't even started, but, like, once.
The guy has more money than Vince.
Okay.
Tony Khan. So I think.
Oh, yeah. The family's got like $7 billion.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying I think this is. There's an opportunity. It's going to change eventually. Mark my words. It's just a matter of. I'm surprised it's taken this long.
Yeah.
But.
Like, or something tragic.
Yeah. They've got. Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing, too, when the people die, a lot of the people, well, they're drug addicts,
mm-hmm.
or they're probably, they're not looking at that addiction came from somewhere. And it's not, it falls on both, but there's no plan in place is the problem. And then we pay for rehab. So, they don't pay for any of my back and shoulder problems that were caused from there. But if I went out and started popping a bunch of pain pills and drinking, oh, they'll pay for that. So it's not about, you do the rehab thing for talent, great. You need to do something for the injuries as well.
Mm.
Because a lot of the drug addictions are coming from the injuries, coming from that lifestyle. You got to just break the problem down further and look at it, and then it will become very obvious what is going on.
Well, look at real quick. I don't want to keep it going, but in one of those Vince interviews, I don't think it was the one where he slapped the papers. They, you know, at whatever year that was, 01, 02, 03, he was asked about drug testing.
Yeah.
And they said, do you have drug testing in place? And he said, no. And he said, why? And he says, because it's too expensive.
Yep.
What happened for them to implement drug testing?
The government was about to step in.
Yeah. Because of the Chris Benoit.
Yeah, tragic right? incident. Yeah.
The government was going to step
Guerrero
in. And they were going to drug test the entire company and shut it down.
Yeah.
And then they gave them that window of time to find a true independent drug
which,
testing.
By the way, the drug testing thing is WWE has control over a lot of that mm-hmm. still, which people with the Aegis or whatever the thing is. Which, by the way, Dr. Black, huge fan of the big guy Ryback, took pictures with him and his kids, who's the head of the drug testing. He, though, it's not like USADA or anything where it's like, I feel they have, because, and I don't even know everything about USADA with UFC and like the different organizations they work with, but they. I'm sure there's shady things going on in every element, but if somebody, and I know this from being there, people had come in and been hired, have tested dirty, and they just did away with it and signed them as an employee for a short-term match. Big star, and I'll never say the name because it would just do nothing but bring me hate, that he failed a drug test, come back, and they just ripped up the contract and signed him as an employee temporarily. And how true that is, that was the rumor that I had heard, and it was obvious as the guy was on the fucking juice for his comeback. And it's just, but like that goes on, and to get around it, and then there's loopholes all in that thing. Mm-hmm. And Anavar was never, I always remember hearing, it infuriates me, guys getting away taking Anavar and it's not showing up on the drug test. That thing needs to, like, there's holes you just hear about. It's not, I don't know. It's not, but they put a plan in place to protect them from the government. But again, they didn't go all the way. It's not for the wrestler's well-being. It's for their well-being. And people need to understand that.
But that was the last time that a major change
happened.
Took place. Yeah, and it was a result of and then, of course, that was less than a year after Eddie died.
Yeah, it was all those, it was really close together. And
yeah,
that was about to, like, what the fuck is going on over there? Mm-hmm. And then, boom, we got to wash our hands of this, and we care about our wrestlers. So it's a screwed up situation. And again, you know, I was thankful that I got to live my dream of my goal and achieving it. But there's a lot of things that need to be done to make that place better. And it's not asking for a handout for anybody. It's just simply asking them to do the right thing and take care of the talent that have made them what they are. And I don't think that's asking for too much personally. So if I never make a dollar, if I never wrestle for WWE again, I would rather see this be done for the wrestlers. Anything I could achieve or dream, championships, I'm telling you, this is more important to me, that this is done for the wrestlers for today and for the future, so the business evolves and is better, so nobody has to go through the stupid shit that I went through that while I was there. And that's it.
But you also realize that if the business is not going to get any better, that you were already there.
Yeah, it's not worth it anymore.
You realize if you're not a part of it, you know you're not missing out.
No, I'm not. Right. It's not anymore. I'm not missing out on anything. I'm very happy now.
It's
I'm
not even. And... I mean, even the time that you were there, it still wasn't what you wanted to truly be as a kid growing up. No. It had already changed so much.
Yep.
And now it's kind of like.
I don't know what it is right now. But
I don't know what it is either.
It's not what I fell in love with as a kid or anything.
No. So. And I mean, look, I still think back to about 2 or 3 years ago, the first Saudi show.
Yeah.
And there was talk that they were going to bring HBK back for that one. And he said no. And they said, well, don't you miss this?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, actually, I don't. Because what goes on today is not what I did.
Yeah.
What I used to do is completely different. So it makes it a lot easier to not miss it because what I used to do doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been saying for years, because there's people who will say to me, well, aren't you bitter that you didn't make it? You were so close so many times. You were knocking on the door for years. And I'm like,
but would you be okay to be angry if you didn't? That's a normal reaction.
I was angry and frustrated, but bitter. No, bitter. I would be bitter if it was what I wanted it to be.
Yeah. You had
and
no
it had
control
changed,
over the situation. Yeah.
And if I, because then I would feel like I was missing out.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd be like, you know what? Because I'm a very, you know, what drew me to wrestling was the creativity.
Yeah. A lot of guys, that's it.
Ad-libbing and just being an entertainer of myself, not, you know, because I was involved in acting. And the one thing I didn't like about acting
was memorizing lines
and, you know, I was like, God, I don't really want to play that character or do that character. I want, like, I think I'm a character.
You need a little bit of freedom.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it just made it easy to not be bitter. Yeah. There was frustration, of course, but so you know.
I know what forward, it is already. And what, yeah, and I'm not, that's you, why you, I'm content. I would rather, and life is about taking chances and having courage. That's why, I say this, I challenge former wrestlers, big names, to step up and do the right thing. Share the video. Just say thank you, because you know, you 100% know that is the right thing to do. And that's it on that. Joe, anything you want to plug?
Last week we had the Highest Fox show. It was a great success. The website is High as Fox, FAWX show. We're looking at the May dates. We're going to look for more comedians or bands in LA, so if you're interested, contact through that website. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, Webmaster Joe, and my website, AsianJoe.com.
Good deal, JD.
You can check out the Instagram page at IronAttitudeJD and the website, IronAttitudeBelts.com.
Good deal. Big shout out to Real Good Pizza. You could save 15% with discount code Ryback on RealGoodFoods.com. Very, really happy to be working with them. Also, follow a wrestling historian on Instagram, and shout out to the Wrestling Classic on Instagram. Those are two great wrestling Instagram accounts. Wiretap Radio on Twitter and Instagram. We're very happy to be partnered with Wiretap Radio moving forward. For all fan mail, P.O. Box 752740, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89136. Patreon.com/Ryback to see this show. We get the tips of the week available on Patreon, along with some other things. Feed Me More Nutrition, available on feedmemore.com and Amazon. We got our Green Apple Wake Up Unlimited Energy coming out in the upcoming weeks, probably about 2 weeks or less. So be on the lookout for that. Amazon reviews are greatly appreciated, guys. It really, really helps us out on getting more exposure for the Feed Me More Nutrition on that. For personal videos for myself, cameo.com/thebigguyryback. For professional wrestling signings or appearances, book the big guy at yahoo.com or showbiz@aol.com to get a hold of Bill Behrens. Wake Up, It's Feeding Time, my motivational book, available on Amazon and paperback, Audible, in Kindle formats. Fuel Meals, my personal meal prep service. Save 15% with discount code thebigguy. Fuelmeals.com. They have healthy prepackaged meals that they make fresh. They send on ice on, is it hot ice?
Dry ice.
Dry ice. I always say hot. Hot ice. Hot ice makes it.
Well, when you put your hand
no
in
sense.
It.
It makes no sense. It makes about perfect sense for me. Now the
well, dry, when it melts, it doesn't leave a wet.
If you touch it,
melt.
It's hot. It burns. Social media, follow us at CWTBG, Ryback22, and at FMM Nutrition on Twitter. Feed Me More Nutrition on Facebook. The Big Guy Ryback22 at Feed Me More Nutrition, and at Conversation with the Big Guy on Instagram, Ryback247 on Snapchat. You can watch this show on YouTube, youtube.com/feedmemorechannel. Thank you guys for listening. You've once again just listened to another episode of Conversation with the Big Guy Ryback.
Bye.
Feed Me More.
What the hell was that?
This is Conversation with the Big Guy Ryback. Subscribe, like, rate, comment.